7th Avenue Pizza, the official pizza of the Soda Pod.
The Soda Pod, the official beer and hockey podcast of 7th Avenue Pizza.
Third and final segment here on MNCAA. It is the CCHA crew minus one today. It is Lucas, Ryan, and Alex. Marissa decided to take, as they call it in England, a holiday. That holiday is much warmer, much water across, and some sand. She's in Mexico and whatever. So apparently that's more important than hockey, but Lucas, last time that I heard, and maybe there's a famous coach, his name was Herb Brooks. No, everything's about hockey, so I don't know what the heck she thinks she can do and just skipping out today.
Yeah, I don't know why, you know, what's more important at this time of year right now than this, you know, McNaughton Cup, you know, push for both her team and mine. So I don't get it. I would be, you know, glued to the couch watching these games.
Alex and Ryan, please forgive me, Lucas. Was that not the most Minnesota way to like throw shade at somebody? You had to think about it for 10 seconds and then very nervously
Yeah.
I mean, this puts some emotion into it, Lucas. I mean, can you show me your angry face? Come on. No. Okay. I put him on the spot. He wasn't ready for it. But
no.
We do hope Marissa's enjoying some time away. She does work super, super hard, just like all of our teams in the CCHA. So let's talk about what happened, guys. Lucas, let's actually give you something that I know you're going to want to answer. And that is Bemidji State has kind of taken a hold now. A really great weekend again, now up to 42 points. And let's just say that although it isn't over yet, I think the conversation has turned it more that this is Bemidji's conference to lose. Is you agree on that?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to take care of business this weekend. Your magic number is 2. Get a win of any kind, overtime, regulation, shootout, I don't care. Just get one win this weekend, clinch that thing, and bring the McNaughton Cup back to Bemidji for the first time in 7 years. So, yeah, you know, great weekend last weekend. Up to now, 15 out of our last 18 possible points. Kind of let a point slip again on Friday night. Probably should have actually gotten a full 6 out of the weekend, but you had kind of just a, you know, you miss an empty net, the reps miss a too many men call, and then Matias Scholl tries to you know, score himself on the empty net and just kind of fails on the clearance and gives up a game-tying goal late. So, you know, they got the job done in overtime, and then on Saturday they really dominated start to finish a depleted St. Thomas team that was bailed out many a time by their you know, goaltender Jake Seibel, who just played remarkable all weekend. And, you know, if you saw SportsCenter, you saw him on the top 10 with a nice little scorpion save over the weekend that I'm sure Austin Jopie would like to have back. He made a nice move to get Seibel down, and then they just couldn't finish it. But yeah, just a good weekend, good 3 weeks in a row now, and you got to take care of business next weekend.
Ryan Seibel doing his best Jonathan Quick impression. You know, as Lucas points out, I mean, really, St. Thomas depleted. We talked about it in our group chat. St. Thomas only dressing 11 forwards on one of the nights, if not both. Again, you don't have. And here's the thing: when people ask, "Well, why couldn't they skate 7 defensemen?" The answer is you didn't have one, right? and this sucks, right? It does suck because, well, you asked about it with Rico. I'll let you tell the folks how that conversation went. But really, you know, for a team that all of us, I think, for the majority of the season had pegged as this was a team that, you know, really exploded for its third season in Division I hockey and kind of became like, you know, the, shall I say, the team everybody was rooting for it to sort of, it's not over yet, but for it to sort of tail off like it has because of injuries. It's disappointing. Excuse me.
Get a little choked
up. Yeah, you choked up.
Yeah, I'm a little choked up. It's the prize. Mass hysteria. And apparently that's what's happening in my brain right now. Apparently my throat. So, but yeah, no, just, it really is unfortunate. The circumstances have led to St. Thomas. And let me just ask you this, besides where they're at, is there any news that might get better before we head to the CCHA playoffs?
Probably not. They're really banged up. I mean, like you mentioned, like I pointed out in my story that came out after the game, it was there. They didn't have an extra skater, didn't have enough guys, didn't have enough to pull four lines of forwards. It was hard to watch too, because it's like, I was really looking forward to this weekend, because I know Bemidji State's like surging right now, and you know, can St. Thomas keep up? But it was very uneven. And it was Bemidji's playing well, and St. Thomas is just trying to keep up, is what they were trying to do. And they did somewhat, you know, but it's just, you know, they had to rely on Cybele a lot on Saturday. They got outshot 20-6 in the second period. Jake looked good, but, you know, he can only stand on his head for so long. And then Bemidji took advantage of that. It's disappointing, because if St. Thomas was, you know, playing bad during this stretch, it would just be like, well, you're falling in the standings because you're not getting the job done. Whereas they're falling primarily because they just don't have enough guys to keep up with everybody else. So it's going to be, they're going into the weekend. Maybe they're going to get guys back. I wouldn't be surprised if some guys who are on the cusp but might try to fight through it just to have a full four lines. But you know, you're kind of wondering, do we save, you know, it's like the monotony's not going to happen, so do we maybe save some guys for the playoffs, that kind of thing? I don't know what Rico's strategy is, but after Saturday night, our conversation was about 45 seconds long, and I said, you know, your guys gave it everything they had, the ones that are available, and he's like, we didn't have a full lineup. And what more can you say? There's not much more to say to that, is the guys are just trying to do what they can. And it's unfortunate that it was going to be like a big shootout, Mankato, Bowling Green, St. Thomas, maybe Tech a little bit with Bemidji. Just, it was this big clump to see who's going to win. And Bemidji's start has emerged, and they deserve it. They're actually playing very well right now. I liked how they played over the weekend. I just wish it was that clump. The clump was a little closer at the end, because I loved having that final weekend, but Bemidji most likely is going to win it. I mean, unless they get swept, they're going to win the monotony. And good for them, too.
So, Alex, in years past, there hasn't been any sort of meaningful games and no bad refereeing or a puck sneaking underneath the net between your two squads, right?
Yeah.
But before we get to your future matchup, you guys did split against Lake Superior State. Again, Lake Superior State continues to give teams fits, and yes, you know, honestly, good for them. I mean, I do feel good for them, because it was a train wreck of a season for them last year. Mm-hmm. From what I believe you and others have told me, it was more of a personnel in the locker room type situation. At least from what it seems like, they've rebounded nicely, and they're fighting just as hard to try to get into a home ice or try to better their spot. It was actually a halfway decent weekend of hockey between these two squads.
Yeah, I mean, this Mavericks team, they haven't been swept in a long time. They just, they're resilient. They hang in there. You know, they have one bad night and they come back, and they were down on Saturday too. That it was crazy. So it was 2-2, and the Mavericks were on the power play, and you know, Evan Murr, one of the best, probably he's right there with Kyle Loft for a defenseman of the year in the conference. He made a play where he put the puck behind him, and there was a Lake State guy right in front of the net, in front of Rancier, and he, you know, tapped it in. It was unbelievable. It kind of like you thought at that moment that, you know, this is it for the Mavericks. And then, you know, they tied it up with, you know, Sam Morton getting goal. He leads the conference in goals. And then Brian Karabas scored late with 46 seconds left. And he did the raise the ear right in front of the Lake bench. So that was, mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll remember that if they have to play the Mavericks again here in the playoffs. But yeah, it was a crazy, crazy finish to the weekend, and they stayed alive.
Well, Alex, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, because right, last I checked, the Mankato Mavericks are one of the oldest teams in the league. Maybe he literally just couldn't hear what they were saying on the bench. I mean, it's possible. Yeah, you never know. But you know, they're going to be dealing with some more noise because Bemidji State. Lucas, one of the things that we've covered a bit here is Bemidji's resurgence, Bemidji's, you know, this season more offensive type mindset this year, which again, for a Saratoga-led team, this is kind of new. But as you head in toward the playoffs and more meaningful games, one of the things that no matter what, you know, level of hockey you're at is you need scoring in all four lines. We talked about this last week. They're getting it. Does it look like that's still continuing? Is that going to be the key to get yourselves the McNaughton Cup and more so to get you into a position to win the CCHA tournament starting up in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, 100%. I thought the best line all weekend against St. Thomas was the fourth line, and that's two freshmen and a junior on it. And those two freshmen played extremely well. Jake McLean had, you know, he's kind of been the key player on that line. He's been the consistent one. He's been centering that fourth line the entire season long, and you know, they've kind of rotated in different wingers with them. And these last couple of weeks now, they found consistency on that fourth line with Reese Chittenden and Dante Lawson. So, you know, I think both McLean and Chittenden had 3-point weekends, or they both had, you know, at least a couple of points. No, Chittenden has now had 5 points in his last three games. Jake, you know, got a goal too on Friday night. I kind of did the same year celebration that Kravis did, but he did it in front of the St. Thomas student section, which got some good reactions from them. But yeah, I mean, just good depth scoring all around. Cause you know, the fourth line was really good. The third line with Jackson Judding and Carter Jones has been playing really well. Second line, Yuri Weissen and Adam Fulmang have been putting up points, and you know, they're not relying on Leighton Road anymore. And that's just great. No, really great to see. So, you know, and also defensively, they're getting a lot more production now from their blue line too. You know, last year they relied so much on Elias Rosen and Will Zamolik. And, you know, you have Kyle Loaf putting up huge numbers offensively and Eric Polkamp's doing that, but you're also getting some of those, you know, depth defensemen like Vince Corcoran had a big goal on Saturday night. And, you know, Mitch Wolf is up to 8 assists on the year. So yeah, just guys that you normally, you know, you didn't see really producing as much last year. You're getting production from them now, and it's just coming at the right time.
It really, really is, right? And Alex, I'm actually going to go back to you on this because your dad talks about this quite a bit, right? Is that is, you know, and for those who have been around the game long enough know this, right? Is that is, it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish, right? Mm-hmm. So with that being said, it's Bemidji and Mankato. It's the finish of the regular season. What does Minnesota State have to do to feel good about themselves going into the playoffs coming up in 2 weeks?
Yeah, consistent goaltending. I don't know what's
translated. Dryden is gone, man.
Yeah, I know. I have to remind myself.
Move on.
Yeah. I just have to remind myself too, watching this team too. You probably aren't ever going to get, you know, goaltending like Dryden did, you know, ever again. But still, you have to be more consistent. And I don't know what Strand's plan is for Friday, because Tracy gave up, you know, some tough goals on Friday night, and then he put in Ransier late on Friday, and then Ransier played on Saturday. But he wasn't great on Saturday either. So that's an issue for the Mavs. So be interesting to see who he goes with. And you know, they have to get the depth scoring too. They can't just always rely on Sam Morton to bail them out. And so it was nice to see Brian Karabas get that, you know, game winner on Saturday. And, you know, hopefully his line continues to play well. Adam Isley's been, you know, he's shown flashes, and you know, same with Josh Grohl. So yeah, we'll see. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be on the road, and you know, they're going to have to score first. If they can score first, you know, that'll be big, because you don't want to chase against the Beavers. They nope. When they have a lead, they frustrate the heck out of teams. You know, I always bring up the Wisconsin Bemidji game in the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago, when they just, you know, they frustrated Cole Caulfield. You know, he scored late in that game, but, you know, they couldn't do anything for, you know, more than two periods. And this Beavers team has more offense than that Beaver team. So, yeah, they're dangerous come playoff time.
So Ryan, going back to St. Thomas, I think all of us in this room would agree that the injury storyline with St. Thomas is probably the least fun storyline that's happening around the league. I don't think that's disputable. But there's one thing I want to revisit that when we talked preseason early in the season, that was St. Thomas's petition to reduce their ineligibility to participate in the NCAA tournament from 5 to essentially after this year. Do they try again? Can you? I mean, and honestly, should they? I mean, I kind of wish they would, because regardless of how the end of this season has happened, I think they've been an inspirational bunch. We obviously know that the recruiting class for St. Thomas is only going to get better under Rico. And I think they did make a statement this year regardless. And so what do you do, Ryan, if you're Rico? And I'm not saying get inside his head, I'm like, anybody can. But at the end of the day, you know, how do you approach the rest of the season? And more so, do you think that you have a resume now that you can go back to the NCAAs and say, let us play, man. Come on.
If I was him, I would be appealing every season because I just, you know, I'm just that kind of person. I'm going to keep pushing to see. I want my guys to get what they deserve, so I'm going to keep pushing it. But I think if they were to have won the McNaughton this year, I think that would be the ultimate thing. Like, listen, we literally won the conference. I mean, we deserve to be in the tournament at this point. That's not going to happen, but they've still had a really good season. They did better than people expected. They have a shot to clinch home ice. It's not going to be easy. They're playing a tech team that's playing better than I thought they would be at this point. And then they have, they can make a good case. Obviously, it's not going to be as good as if they had, you know, won a championship or something like that. But if
one of two, there's the playoffs and the regular season.
So. Yeah. They didn't win the regular season, but there's still a chance from there, you know, maybe if they get enough guys. But yeah, you can make a decent case and say, look, people didn't think we'd be in the situation in our third year. And we contended for the conference title pretty much until the last 2 weeks of the season. You know, we were in the mix until then. So they could go in and say, you know, next year, our expectations are going to be even higher. Because if they get home ice, you know, okay, we came just short of getting the McNaughton. We have the capability to do that. They got a good class coming in next year. So I think they have a good case. It's not as excellent as it could be, but you can say, listen, you know, 5 years was 5 years is ridiculous. When that announced that, it's like, okay, I get 1 year. Okay, you're moving from D3 to D1. It's in transition. You know, you got to do that. But 5 is just awful. It's like, I mean, there's teams that, I mean, Augustana is a brand new program and they can compete. You know, it's like, why can't St. Thomas just because they made a huge jump? And yeah, 5 years is ridiculous. I would be appealing this year. I don't know if they will, but I would, because I think they've done enough to make a case for getting out of it.
And Alex, I want to stay with this because Lucas, I got another question for you after we kind of gravy train this a little bit. But, you know, if you're the NCAAs too, and I know we've maybe briefly touched on this before, but I just don't understand how when you have a D3 program going to D1, what does the 5-year ban actually accomplish, right? I don't think anybody really can figure that out. Because here's my thing. The NCAAs, last time I checked, they're basically battling for every single penny they can get their hands on. Mm-hmm. They supposedly say that they're all for the student athlete experience, and yet you're basically telling the program, give me one good reason why any sort of college hockey player in the Midwest would not want to go to your program for the first 5 years, because we can't compete in the NCAA postseason if our team is good. I don't get that. So I guess I'm like, what, how do you change this? Like, I just don't get it, because I really don't think it's fair. I really don't. I'd say, let the kids decide, let the kids play, because at the end of the day, let's just say St. Thomas in the playoffs makes it to the championship game. We've talked about this ad nauseum on this podcast, right? That is, well, whoever that opponent is, is getting the auto bid. But the crappy thing is, why shouldn't there be a competition there? That's going to be a meaningless game. So I guess, you know, is there a part of you that almost hopes St. Thomas recovers and makes that? Even though I know your Mavericks want to be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Say that the Mavs get upset. I hope that doesn't happen because I don't want to talk about it. But let's say that it happens. You know, St. Thomas, now, I think you could easily take that argument to the NCAAs just as much as you could take the regular season performance this year and say, get this monkey off our back. This is, pardon my French, this is bullshit.
Yeah. No, I'm all for it. You know, I appreciate Leon and Rico and Corey and how those guys run their program. It's first class. And so, yeah, we definitely would want to root for them. And the frustrating thing is they have the money too. If it's a money issue, they are absolutely loaded. You know, if they need money from someone, they can get it instantly, like they did for their arena. So, yeah, you know, it should be a case by case basis. And the crazy thing is, I don't really think there needs to be an NCAA anymore. You know, just with NIL. I mean, I don't know if I put it in our chat a couple weeks ago, but the Georgia quarterback was getting a free Lamborghini. I mean, it's just, you know, with some of these deals, you know, kids are making millions of dollars now. And so what's the purpose of the NCAA now? Nothing. And so, you know, let these conferences decide. And, you know, I think, you know, with St. Thomas, they're showing that, you know, that they're recruiting really well. I mean, we saw this past off season. They're one of their best players got, you know, recruited or, you know, basically stolen by Michigan. You know, so, I mean, these other, you know, big blue blood schools are noticing the talent that St. Thomas has too, and wanted to take some of their players, but they're recruiting with the best of the best, and they deserve a shot if their play speaks for it. And they're, you know, if they didn't have some of these injuries, they, like I said, they probably would have ran away with the CCHA, but that, you know, it's this time of the year, it's the war of attrition. Who can have the, you know, least amount of injuries at key spots. So yeah, I'm all for it.
It's tough, right? But Lucas, and the reason why your question is next is, you know, we talk about what a championship game means for St. Thomas because they're a young squad, you know, third year in Division One. I don't think anybody, like I said, we thought that they would be better this year. I don't think all of us envisioned going back to October that we would be having the same conversation we're having now about them, right? And that's just how good it's been. And that's a great storyline for college hockey in general, right? But let's go back to Bemidji, because as you mentioned, it's been 7 years since a McNaughton Cup. What would a McNaughton Cup mean for Bemidji State? And more so, how about getting back to the NCAA tournament? What would that mean for not only yourself, but how about that very loyal Beaver fan base?
Yeah, I mean, it would be awesome. And especially just considering how low, you know, my own expectations were for the season. And I think, you know, I think we were picked to finish fifth in the media poll at the beginning of the year in the CCHA and fourth in the coaches poll, or maybe flip-flopped. You know, even my homerish self was somewhere around third or fourth, you know, kind of in that range. So it would just be huge, and it just couldn't happen to a better group of guys. I mean, it's just such an easy group to cheer for. There's really, you know, no troublemakers on this team like there are with some other programs in the conference. And
well, we'll touch on those in a second, but
oh yeah, I know. And just, yeah, just, it's just such a great opportunity, and everything's just kind of coming together. You know, they dealt with so much adversity early on in the season. They had some big injuries to some key players. You know, they had a lot of guys missing for World Juniors, you know, just kind of at inopportune times. You know, they had a really bad non-conference schedule, you know, or results again this season. So just kind of putting it all together now at the right time and being able to make a run at both championships, that's huge. That's awesome. I'm so excited to get up there this weekend and see how we do. And hopefully I'll get to witness a championship ceremony happening on the Sanford Center ice. So
does it feel like Haley's Comet a bit, Lucas, for Bemidji State, that, you know, it's, and I'm not trying to, you know, poke fun at, you know, that, you know, how long it's happened in between, but more so like, again, you mentioned the expectations were not where your team is at right now. But, you know, again, with the team, they're playing differently. They're excelling at, you know, you could argue, I don't want to say a full new style, but a more emphasis on offense, right? Which I think we talked about this in the preseason. Would Bemidji State eventually at some point under Cerutori, whether it was under him or not, have to adjust to the way that college hockey is trending? And at least from what we can see on the eye test, I don't have the analytics. I don't really care. That might tell us a different story. That's okay. But it's been a fun ride. And, you know, more importantly, you know, how can this, shall we say, bridge that gap between 7 years and maybe you go back to back? Isn't that sort of the hope with this?
Yeah. And it's just a great opportunity too, because you're playing the team that you know, has had the McNaughton Cup for the last 6 years, you know, since the last time you won it. So it's just, you know, as Ric Flair would say, you got to be the man, you got to beat the man. And that's what they have to do this weekend. So
I love that quote. I freaking love it. Ryan, you decided to jet out because maybe Lucas was going to smite you in your predictions. I'm kidding. No.
something happened with my thing. I wanted to refresh it before I.
Right. You know, so again, I think overall CCHA has been a fun conference to follow in its own right. I know on the national stage, it's not getting, you know, the attention that maybe we here in Minnesota would give it just because of maybe the pairwise numbers per se. But Ryan, there's also been some things both in conference and out of conference that probably hasn't helped the situation. I'm going to say his name. I don't care. Austin Swankler. Come on, man. Like, dude, it's one thing, and maybe it's a Midwest thing, right? I think all of us in the room, the Midwest values, if you goof up, you own it, right? Mm-hmm. And you move on from it. I'm not sure where Austin Swankler is from. Maybe you have the line chart in front of you, but not only has he denied his wrongdoing, but he's doubling down on it and getting help from apparently family members on this. I just, if you want to rub a fan base the wrong way, one is to not take responsibility for your actions. Then two, have a family member come and basically try to like shield you. Weak. That's all I'm going to say. Your thoughts on Austin Swankler.
You know what? It's disappointing because I did a feature on him a couple of years ago for my site. When I was trying to cover the league as a whole,
you have time to take that down, by the way. It's fine.
Yeah. It's from 2 years ago. I got to dig and try to lift my archives and try to find it. But, you know, he seemed like, you know, typical hockey player, a talented hockey player who seemed like a good guy. And it's showing that he's not who he thought he was or who a lot of people thought he was. He did something wrong. He's doubling down on it. He's got people backing him up on Twitter, you know, and what he did this past weekend, I mean, he's played in 10 games for Tech this year, did not score at all. He has 3 assists, didn't play last weekend. You know, they say he's injured, but you know, still, and his team sweeps BG and he decides to set out a diamond cutter tweet taunting his former team. It's like, okay, you did barely anything this year. You left it in ruins. Your team got off to a terrible start and you're going to talk crap when you haven't done crap this year. It's like, it doesn't make any sense to me. And maybe it is the Midwestern thing. It's just like, I'm all right when people, you know, talk trash if you can back it up. And he hasn't done anything this year to back up what he's been saying. And it's like, so he went from like very talented guy and seemed decent to guy who is basically a tool and has some talent, you know. I mean, he's still talented, but it's like, it didn't show this year. You know, I mean, when he played against St. Thomas, I saw in the first period, I think he was on the ice once, maybe. In the first period. So yeah, it's disappointing. It's disappointing for me because I wrote a feature on him and thought he'd be worth writing about. And then you find out people aren't who you thought they were. So it's unfortunate, but
it is unfortunate. You only hope that because he is still younger, right? That mm-hmm. at some point, maybe the light bulb clicks and you learn from it. The analytics, the advanced statistics would say, no, that's not happening. Who knows, right? And Alex, I'm going to give you the last word on this because we're going to kind of piggyback off of this. how pissed off would hockey Twitter be in the CCHA if somehow Michigan Tech is raising the CCHA championship in the playoffs? And I say that because you probably know where this is going, because I would only imagine if this is the sort of social media outburst we're getting during this regular season push, I can only imagine the sort of pseudo chest puffing sort of crap we're going to get if they somehow get to that point. How pissed off would you be if Michigan Tech is the CCHA representative for the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, 100%. Just with everything that's got, not only Swankler, but the coach and another player incident that he had. Especially when he's not contributing to the team at all. It'd be different if, you know, he'd be talking all this trash if he was, you know, scoring a bunch of goals. But when you haven't even scored a single goal, that's a tough look. And for a guy that when he was at Bowling Green, he, you know, attended a NHL development camp, and now all the stuff that he's doing now, that it's a red flag to GMs everywhere. And he's going to have a tough time, playing somewhere after college. And, you know, it doesn't seem like it's going to be the NHL. So, you know, good luck, elsewhere and overseas. And if it is here, it'll probably be the, you know, not East maybe even NHL, below. Maybe the SPHL, which is below the EC. So yeah, good luck with the way you're acting. And I don't think being young is an excuse. I think he's 22 now. I mean, that's you're
he's
up
young
there
compared
now.
To me, but so
yeah, yeah, true. So no, him. Very true. But it's just like he's getting bad advice. You know, I'm sure he has an advisor too, and it's like, what are you doing here, dude? And you know, he's putting that on Instagram. That's it's a platform and everybody can see. I saw that he's gone private. Obviously, somebody must have told him that. But it still gets out, even if you think you're not everybody's seeing it.
So here's the social media thing, right? That is it, right now. It's like what goes up never comes down in social media, right? It's always there, and at the end of the day, here's the thing. And this is advice, right, to Swankler and whoever his family is listening to. Is like, dude, it takes talent and some swagger to play college hockey. No one's denying that. It doesn't take any bit of talent to be a good human being and to be not a piece of shit. I'm just going to say that, right? And I think all of us can get behind a good hockey player that, you know, has got a human sense, that has empathy, that, you know, respects the people around him, doesn't steal shoes out of somebody's fucking locker room, right? It's just like, be a good person. That takes no effort. It takes no talent.
Look at your goalie. Yeah. That's a kid that you root for. I mean, he's class all the way, scholar, athlete. Yeah, that's the guy that you should be looking to as a role model, and a guy that has worked his tail off to be where he's at, and might get a chance to to play pro hockey at the AHL level. So yeah, that's somebody that you should be looking for, looking to act as a college hockey player.
Honestly, and then to kind of wrap it up here for all of us here, right, guys, and that is, I think all of us have done things, said things that were like crap, kind of thing. I'll root for anybody that owns up to their mistakes. I'll root for anybody that, generally recognizes the mistake that they made and decides, I'm going to do better. And they do. Right. I'm okay to root for every single person that goes through that, because we're all human. We're not perfect. Mm-hmm. But when you adamantly deny that essentially you are human, means you're apparently he's perfect and never makes a mistake. And, then decides to say, nope, that never happened, despite to the contrary of a formal investigation by multiple agencies coming to the same conclusion.
Law enforcement. Yeah.
It's formal, right? And here's the thing, right? I hope, I never got a chance to play college hockey at a high level, and I hope sincerely that when people do that, they get a chance to prove themselves at the next level. The problem is that for Swankler, despite his talent, what he's doing is sabotaging his own chances of having those opportunities, right? It really is a sad story and an angering story at the same time, right? Because you see a young gentleman who probably is, like you said, Alex, just probably not getting the best advice and you can make an argument, maybe has he been around the wrong crowd? Who knows, right? At the end of the day, but I don't think he realizes now the damage that he's doing to his, even his hockey future. And it's sad all the way around. So what is not sad and what is fun is, hey, regular season finale for the CCHA is next week. Big Ten also in the regular season finale. The NCHC does have two more weekends. And then guess what, guys? It is college hockey playoff time, at least in the conference. And then a couple of weeks, three or four, it is going to be the selection committee show, and we're off to the NCAA tournament. I totally screwed that up, but that's fine. So with that being said, it is time for me to stop talking because I've done way too much of it tonight. So for Lucas Pipenhagen, Alex Micheletti, Ryan Stegen, for all of our panelists, I'm Nick Maxson. Thank you so much, everybody, for watching this week's episode of MNCAA. We'll back at it here next week.